Well, hello and welcome to Cloverdale Baptist Podcast. We are so glad that you've joined us. Our desire is to help people know Jesus more, to grow deeper in that relationship with Him so that we, as those who belong to God, live a life that is driven and defined by that relationship with Him. That's not easy in the world we live in, and our desire is to give you resources as a church that can help you to do that. Almost every year, I get together with our creative genius and we discuss the next podcast we should do. And one of our traditions is to do one that highlights the top few books that I have read, maybe 5 to 10. It was a better reading year for me this year than last year. Last year, I had struggled a little bit. I had heard, I think if you listen to these podcasts, you've heard this before, but I had heard from one of my professors that if you want to stay in a congregation longer than 3 years, you need to read at least 4 books a month. And so I've made that my goal over my 30 years of ministry life. And typically I read significantly more than that, but I try never to read less than that. Anytime you go into discussing what it means to read books other than the Bible, I think it's very important for us to say, make sure that the Bible is your most important book that you read. It's the only one that's inspired. It's the only one that's inerrant. It's the only one that God uses in that special way, in the power of the Holy Spirit, to grow us in our faith. So read the Bible. Join us in our church Bible read over 2024. And then as you look back at your life at the end of 2024, if Jesus doesn't return, you will have seen significant growth. I have tried in the last few years to read the Bible 3 times over the course of the year and will accomplish that again. Again, I probably have more time than you unless you're retired to read my Bible. It's one of the great privileges of being a pastor is not only are you expected to do it, but they free up your time so that you can. And I love to read. Now, in terms of choosing what to read, may I suggest to you that you do so in terms of the passions you have, the problems you're facing. Now, for me this year, it was driven sometimes by ministry, sometimes by pleasure. And as I give you the top five, I'm going to give you the top five with some honorable mentions and just some authors I would suggest if you're looking to read in a broader way in terms of learning how to read. As I walk through these, again, it was interesting to me as I went over the list of books I had read this year, and it's over 100, and you're kind of working through them and which ones, and I try to mark them up and what have I learned, and I'm trying to get a pattern where I can withdraw that information so I can use it to teach or preach or impact my own life. Going through it, what I realized is quite often the books that float to the top are books that I've actually read before, and that'll happen again this year. I listened to the podcast from last year, and certainly happened last year as well. So as I walk through these, some of them you're going to be familiar with. Some actually we give to every new elder, every new staff member when they come on, those who are either directors or pastors, because we want these things to dominate our church culture. So I'll try to express that as I go. I tried to outline kind of my top few and the reasons for them. So let me walk you through them. And I know some of you have said to me, hey, I actually took this list from last year and I read them throughout the year. Man, we would love for you to do that again or to pick your own books. And when you've read an excellent book, if you want to let us know as a church, feel free to give an email and just say, hey, this book impacted me. And who knows, maybe next year your book will make the top list of books as we do this again, God willing, or I suppose Elias desiring. The number one book that I would recommend to you, at least that I read this last year, as I was evaluating, it's so hard again to evaluate books that you're trying to grow with because often the Holy Spirit will use different books at different times for different reasons. But one of the passions that the elders had for this year was that there would be a year of prayer, that we would build a strong culture of prayer. And so I took up the book. It's a book that we give to every new elder that comes to our church, certainly to anyone who wants to grow in their prayer life. It's one that I would strongly recommend. It's called A Call to Spiritual Reformation, Praying with Paul, by a man named D.A. Carson. And for me personally, this was a book that changed my prayer life. I was struggling in terms of how much I was praying, and one of the calls of God on elders and pastors particularly is that they would be people who study the Word, which I love to do, and it's easy for me, and who pray. And in fact, if you read Acts 6 and try to understand it in there, probably balancing the two together. And I found that my prayer life was minimized by the busyness of my schedule. Not funny enough, my study of the Bible, but my prayer life wasn't. Deeply convicted by it and happened to pick up this book and read it. And he goes through the prayers of Paul and aligns how we pray with the prayers that the Holy Spirit inspired to Paul. Now, there's other prayers in the Bible, obviously, but it's just one of those books that God used to, again, ignite in me not only a passion to pray, but taught me how to pray. And it was very rich for me at the time. And again, this year when I picked it up, funny enough, as I ranked the books after I finished reading them in terms of impact on my own heart and mind and then ministry use, found it again tremendously impactful. And I try to, in my prayers, pray through prayers in the Bible, pray in the Spirit, I suppose, is how the biblical language would be. And that means to pray in alignment with how he's taught us or shown us in his word, pray in alignment with what he wills. And this book is fantastic to help accomplish that. So Carson does some playing around. He teaches you, you know, the barriers to prayer and those sorts of things, and then mixes in chapters. But the richness of the book is the loyalty to the Word of God. And in that loyalty to the Word of God, teaching you, if you want, not only how to pray and to pray, but also in terms of the practical nature of praying in the Spirit in alignment with God's Word. So highly recommend the book. Changed my life a number of years ago, probably over 20 now. And certainly, it's one of those books I try to pick up every year and read. This year, I was dealing with a number of people who were hurting, perhaps even my own heart, with the dad's illness and then mom's fall and just things happening, people around me that I love very dearly who are dying in our own congregation, people hurting. So much going on in terms of a world that doesn't make sense. And I picked up again the book called Trusting God by Jerry Bridges. It's a book that is very simple to read and very profound in terms of what it teaches about the sovereignty of God and why he can be trusted. He runs through the attributes of God. He focuses on three, kind of a three-legged stool that you place your faith in God on. He says you need to believe that God is sovereign, that God is over all things, that God is in control. You need to believe that God is good, and you need to believe that God is all wise, which is different than being all knowing. All wise means that his plan is best. It's always the best plan. And he does it in such a simple yet profound way. It's a hard read if you're going through a difficult time right now, although I would strongly recommend it. But I think even more importantly, it's a book that if you pick up and read and believe in the Bible and the God of the Bible, one that will help you to trust God through anything you're going through. And he's the one that actually gave me what I call my sparrowology, my understanding of the fact that God, Matthew 10, cares about me so deeply that I don't need to worry in the midst of anything. I don't need to fear in the midst of anything I'm going through because God not only sees me, but nothing can happen to me. Not a sparrow falls to the ground apart from the will of the Father. Nothing can happen to me apart from the will of the Father. And I know that creates some tension for people when hardships happen or trials are being experienced. But really, when you step back and think about it, what it does mean most profoundly, at least for my heart, is in the midst of my dad struggling with cancer, or my mom's fall, or the death of people I love, or struggles in my own life and heart, I can trust God. God knows me personally and is at work. And trusting God walks you through the text. It's, I think, built probably from sermons that he preached at a conference, but well worth your read and reread, and one of those books that I want to dominate my thinking. Now, I want to add in a book here that's a little bit, I don't know. Some of you may struggle with the book or even me adding it in, but I'm going to add it in because I enjoyed it so much for me personally. And so because it's my personal list, I'm going to put it in my personal list. And it's called Doesn't Hurt to Ask. It's by a guy by the name of Trey Gowdy. Now, I've seen Trey Gowdy before on Fox News and haven't really always enjoyed him, although sometimes he was good. But the book itself, I loved because of not only the way he tells the stories, but also the encouragement that he has in us to ask good questions and continue to ask. Be those who are listening carefully before we make up our minds and before we offer our opinions. It's written in a relational way. I have a good friend, one of our elders, who's constantly trying to get me to read outside of my comfort zone, which I actually think is wise. And this was one of the books he gave me, and I want to say that it took me a little while to get into it. I usually have a pile of books, and usually books not written by those who are deepening my ministry expertise, I don't get too quickly into. But once I got into this book, it was hard for me to put down. It was just an enjoyable read, but also one that really tweaked in me a desire to become a better listener, a desire to learn how to ask questions and really care about people and really care about their answers. And so it's a book, again, I'm careful how I recommend it. It's not a book that's going to deepen your theology, but I do think it will help you, at least it has helped me, to learn how to be a better listener and to learn how to interact with others in a way that hopefully helps them to feel loved and taken care of. Book number four. I thoroughly enjoyed this. I actually ordered it a long time ago. It came in online. I'm learning to read on my iPad. That's how young I feel sometimes. I have now a hard copy of the book, and it's called Five Lies of Our Anti-Christian Age. It's by a lady named Rosaria Butterfield. I have grown to love the way she thinks, the way she writes. I don't always agree with her, although I think for the most part I do. She has been a part of the Gospel Coalition and someone that I just have learned to admire in terms of the thought process she goes through, but also where she's come from. She was certainly what we would consider a strong activist against what Christians believe and practice things that were against what Christian believes. And then through the pastor neighbor that she had and the invitation of her into their lives, she came to know Jesus as her Lord and Savior and now has become one of the most prolific writers in terms of what the world says, especially in that she understands the other side. And so she walks through five lies of the anti-Christian age. I think, again, if you're going to read this book, it's one of those books that will break your heart even as it equips you how to respond. I use it for one of the Sunday school classes I was teaching, discipleship hour classes I was teaching, and I just think it's just one of those very, very helpful books in the current culture we face. I'll walk you through the five lies. I would recommend this, although some people I've recommended to have found her a little bit wordy. She was a university professor, now a pastor's wife. Got a promotion. The first lie, she says, homosexuality is normal. The second lie, being a spiritual person is kinder than being a biblical Christian. Third lie, feminism is good for the world and for the church. Fourth lie, transgenderism is normal. And the fifth lie, modesty is an outdated burden that serves male dominance and holds women back. I again, just strongly recommend her for the way she thinks. She's got some other excellent books, podcasts, those sorts of things. Have always been challenged by the way she thinks and encouraged by the way she thinks. So just one of those very helpful books. If you want to read it, if it's a little bit heavy for you, you can pick up a podcast she did. I think the favorite one, she did a number for this book. I think my favorite was the one she did with Kevin DeYoung. Last year, I walked you through an honorable mention book called Following the Master. I read that again, loved it. It's by Michael J. Wilkins, someone who was one of my professors. I loved him. The book this year that I want to introduce you to is called In His Image. It's a little easier to read. I think some of you who were trying to read the books that we recommended last year found his book a little heavy. This one's kind of an everyday book in terms of how do you conform your life to the image of Jesus? What are the steps you need to take? And I think this is something that we as Christians need to constantly be battling towards, not only because that's what God calls us to, if you remember Galatians 4:19, but also because the world fights against it. We're swimming upstream, and so often we're in the world and of the world, or not in the world and not of the world, and God has placed us to be in the world and of the world and are not of the world. And I find his writing, speaking, certainly loved him as a professor, really helped me in terms of my thesis. I find him very helpful. So a great book if you just want to understand what discipleship is and how to be a healthy disciple. It's relatively simple to read. He lives in California. He's a skateboarder, kind of has that kind of thinking. The last book I want to put in terms of the books that really had a profound impact on me is, again, an older one, one that I use when I'm mentoring, especially younger people, and I pulled it out actually in my mentoring of one of our staff and got them to read it. But if you get your staff to read a book, you should reread it. And so I did. The book is called When People Are Big and God Is Small. He's actually just come out with another edition of it. And I think the new edition is even better. But it's helping people overcome peer pressure, codependency, and the fear of man. Well, my goodness, that's something that it seems to me that we all kind of struggle with. So one of those books that just, again, expresses that the biblical view of God is so massive and so great, and the cultural's fight back is to make us the center of the universe and to make kind of the therapeutic gospel the most important thing about who God is and what God can do for us, rather than giving us a deep passion to bring honor and glory to God. So those are my this year six books that I would strongly recommend. Again, most that I have recommended or read before, but there's a few new ones in there. I also say to you, if you're learning to read Christian books, if you're longing to grow, there are some scholars or pastors or writers that I would say just any book by them is a book well worth your read. I would say John Piper, anything by Piper. Now, Piper's works, you're going to find that often he repeats himself. I try to read two or three, four or five Piper books a year. I find his biographies just fantastic. I find A Future Grace, I'm actually right in the middle of right now, just loving the book again, his high, high view of God, and then his passion to live that out in terms of what that means in active everyday life, how we feel, think, and respond, fantastic. So anything by John Piper, particularly his biographies, but this year I'm going to say even Future Grace, if you want a place to start, fantastic book. Strongly recommend, highly recommend John Piper. Don't, again, always agree with him, but just love the radical God-centeredness, his passion to glorify God by enjoying him forever. I just think it's so fantastic. So anything by John Piper, I think, is well worth your read. D.A. Carson, if you want to read somebody who's thought things through, he was on my list this year again. Some of Carson's books are heavy sledding. Some of them are difficult to read, but they're all well worth it. I've often said, if you disagree with Carson, you have to figure out why you're wrong in the evangelical world. So I just think he's a deep thinker. He's a clear thinker. His commentary on John, maybe the best written on John. His commentary on Matthew, maybe the best written on Matthew. I love, if you want to start anywhere, with the one book on prayer on Paul, but so many others. Really worth your reading. But again, can be tough sledding. The author I would recommend, I think, if I was recommending the third, I'll come to a fourth who's actually a friend of mine, but the third would be Jerry Bridges. Anything by Bridges I have found fantastic, and he has a number of books out. Certainly The Pursuit of Holiness is the one he became most famous for. Practice of Godliness, I think, was the first one I read of his. It transformed my life, and then from there on in, I think every book he's written I have thoroughly enjoyed. He's simple, he's biblical, and he's practical, at least in the way I understand those things. So those three guys. I want to give a little bit of a shout out to my friend Mark Jones. Mark writes a number of books. He's just finished actually a new one. We're going to have him on a podcast again for that. I have the privilege of being Mark's friend. One of the things I love about the way Mark writes is he is saturated with, well, certainly church history, Puritans, early church fathers. He really understands the history of the church and the line, the way that the church thinks, and he brings that into his writing. He writes in a way that you can follow along, you can know what he's going on. He's actually got a series that he's working on now. I think his best book, Knowing Christ, fantastic book. But he's got a number of others. Again, just finished a book now that I'm just getting into. So I really enjoy his writing. I enjoy the fact that I have a friendship with him and get to ask him questions and learn with him and learn from him. So again, those four authors I would recommend. So here's what I'm saying, I suppose, to sum up. Be biblical first. Read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible. And then if you want to grow, I would follow along the lines of many of the early church and beyond. Read, read, read. Even the Apostle Paul, bring me my books. I suppose he used different language, but that's what he pleaded for. You can watch a little less TV and you can read a little more books. Maybe before you go to bed, put it on your lampstand, read a couple of chapters a day, whatever it is, but make sure that you're constantly growing. Grow in the areas you most are passionate about. If you have some ideas for me for next year, email Elias. We'll certainly put those into consideration if I take the time to read them. If you have passions, you're saying, what's the best book on marriage? There's two or three on marriage that I did this year that are well worth your read, or parenting or those sorts of things. We'll certainly try to get those into your hands because we want to be a church that not only is constantly growing in our relationship with Jesus and living that out in all of life, but also resourcing others that can accomplish that as well. It's why we do this podcast. So I hope you've enjoyed this. You've certainly got the overflow of a little bit of the learning I've done this year. And we pray that in 2024, you accomplish what God desires. You follow him with all your might. You are more and more conformed to the image of Jesus, driven and defined by your relationship with him, living in the fullness of the Spirit and growing in terms of your impact in the world. And that would be our desire. So thank you for listening to Cloverdale Baptist Podcast.